This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. Mexico City, in case you've never been, is full of distinctive sounds. There's the bell the garbage men ring, letting you know when it's time to come down and throw out your trash. On some corners, you can hear organ grinders cranking out tunes for tips. There are, of course, the roving mariachi bands. And there are the public markets, where you can hear countless vendors hawking their products. But there's one specific sound that cuts through the din, a voice that, if you've never heard it before, might stop you in your tracks.
Se compra colchones, tambores, refrigeradores, estufas, lavadoras, microondas, o algo de fierro viejo que vendan.
What you're hearing is a recording that trucks in Mexico City play on a relentless loop.
Reporter Ted Seifer.
The crews inside these trucks are looking to buy old household items and appliances. Basically, they're scrap metal haulers, and the recording is their pitch to prospective sellers.
Se compra colchones.
We buy mattresses, bed frames, refrigerators.
The list of appliances continues with stoves, washing machines, microwaves, and then crescendos gloriously with this line.
O algo de fierro viejo que vendan.
Which basically means, or any old metal thing you're selling. This last bit has become the recording's namesake, Fierro Viejo, literally old iron.
The recording started popping up in neighborhoods surrounding the capital city in the early 2000s, but steadily the sound caught the attention of the internet and a growing number of amateur and not-so-amateur DJs and musicians.
One of Mexico's major newspapers referred to Fierro Viejo as the most popular sound in all of Mexico. Its status as a national icon may have been cemented at the World Cup last year when a Mexican fan blasted it out of a massive speaker he had strapped to his back. So how and why did Fierro Viejo rise from the streets of Mexico City to become this huge sensation? The answer, it turns out, starts with a 9-year-old girl.
A 9-year-old girl who helped solve a pressing challenge in a city that is busy, loud, and brimming with street vendors.
Fierro Viejo is just one voice amid the cacophony of street selling in Mexico City. More than 50%, that's 50, of residents work in the informal economy. In a metro area of 22 million, that's a lot of vendors who go out every day, selling tamales, pressing fresh juice, collecting old appliances for scrap.
The main driver of this massive part of the economy is necessity. There simply aren't enough jobs in Mexico's formal economy to go around. That makes street vending both a crowded space and a competitive one. You can hear the intensity of that competition playing out at the public markets, or tianguis, as the locals call them.
Agua, refrescos, jugos, fríos, fríos, tres refrescos de lata 12, agua, refrescos, jugos.
Pásenle, aprovechenle por este lado, gente.
¡Te vale 50 pesos! ¡Te vale 50 pesos!
There's a name for the calls vendors use to grab customers' attention in the middle of all this commotion. They're called pregones, and there's an art to them, one that's been refined over the centuries.
Este tipo de sonidos o este tipo de pregones, que se les puede denominar así, tienen una historia. Están arraigados en el pasado.
That's Liliana Jamaica Silva. She's an anthropologist at the National School of Anthropology and History in Mexico City. She says the term pregón has a long history in Mexico and can be traced back to the period of Spanish colonial rule.
In those days, pregones referred to the proclamations a designated town crier would make about new laws or notices of execution, that kind of thing.
This purpose has, of course, fallen by the wayside, but the tradition of pregones has been carried on by street vendors, who have long been important figures in Mexican culture.
Y entonces podemos ya encontrar en las películas, sobre todo en el cine mexicano, algunos de estos como pregones, ¿no? Por ejemplo, hay una película de...
Jamaica told me that street vendors and their pregonists were often depicted during the golden age of Mexican cinema. In a 1951 film, you can hear the famed Mexican comic known as Tintan singing the praises of his freshly baked bread while riding his bike through the city.
Panadero con el pan, tun tun, el panadero con el pan, el panadero con el pan, el panadero con el pan. Tempranito va y lo saca calientito en su canasta para salir con su clientela por las calles principales y también la ciudadela y después a los portales y el que no sale se queda sin el pan para comer.
Today, you can still hear some bread sellers using that little horn which people associate with the panadero. The street vendors you hear in Mexico City do not generally burst into song, but there remains an element of performance in their pregones.
Vendors use distinctive intonations, cadences, and often clever turns of phrase to in effect create their own sonic niches. This is especially important for itinerant vendors, the ones who sell their products in carts, trucks, or on foot. After all, they not only have to contend with the ambient noise of the city, but distracted customers who are busy doing other things. This recording is played by vendors who ride around selling tamales oaxaqueños, tamales in the style of the Oaxaca region.
Many mobile vendors, like the bread sellers, enhance their pregón with sounds like bells. And sometimes the sound is so loud and so distinctive that no words are needed, like that of the sweet potato seller.
The cart he pushes, by the way, is an ingenious contraption. A little wood fire steams the potatoes and powers that piercing whistle.
Then there's the roving cooking gas seller, who opts for simplicity with his pregón.
El gos.
Before Fierro Viejo the recording caught on, many scrap metal collectors shouted their pregones just like that gas seller. And some, though not many, still do.
Fierro Viejo! Tambores! Refrigeradores!
Antes era el pregonero que lo iba repitiendo. Ahora ya es un cassette o es un disco. O sea, se han ido transformando las maneras, pero el significado y el uso no. O sea, lo que se transforma...
Jamaica explained that while things like cassettes and CDs have changed the means by which vendors deliver their pregones, their basic function has not changed. And Fierro Viejo may be the clearest and loudest expression of that trend.
While the Fierro Viejo recording fits squarely into Mexico's rich tradition of pregones, it's also a stark departure from it, and that has everything to do with the voice that delivers it.
Se compra colchones.
So high-pitched, it occupies its own sonic register. Each syllable delivered forcefully, yet almost wearily. The incongruity of it is arresting.
No sé qué. ¿Qué cosa les causa el sonido de la niña? Que todos los perros empiezan a aullar, ¿no?
For her part, Jamaica isn't sure what it is about the voice, but it does make all the dogs in her neighborhood howl.
Ah, que se le ayudó la,
to get the story behind this iconic recording, I took a drive away from the swankier neighborhoods in central Mexico City to a place called Ecatepec, a sprawling, dusty area of blocky buildings on the city's northern outskirts. That's where I met Marco Antonio Terron and his family. Marco has had many jobs in his nearly 60 years. Cop, chef at a Japanese restaurant, bed frame seller. But the family business, and his greatest love, is entertainment.
My daughter is a clown. I'm a clown. Her stage name is Chimbombita. Mine is Chimbombin.
However, making a living as a clown is not easy.
Pero como todo hay temporadas donde nos bajó lo de los payasos, las contrataciones nos bajó. Entonces,
like everything, there's times when the clown business went down. The number of contracts went down. So talking with a cousin of mine, he says, "Well, Why don't you work with your brother who's already working in scrap metal?
After a short time on his brother's scrap metal crew, Marco decided to venture out on his own. But he didn't have a truck, so he built a push cart. And that's what he would use to load and move heavy appliances. He would push the cart under the hot sun, beckoning sellers by shouting through an improvised cardboard megaphone.
Y te imaginarás, a pie, llegas molido de los pies. Y de la garganta gritando, igual.
And you can imagine on foot, you arrive exhausted. And after so much screaming, my throat feels the same. With the sun, the heat, the dust, I had a sore throat, bad feet, super tired. I will take the bus to my house, and there I will sit on the steps because my feet couldn't take it anymore.
One day, Marco had an idea. He would make a recording of his pitch, something other vendors sometimes did. That way he wouldn't have to strain his vocal cords all day. But Marco being Marco, he wanted to do the recording his own way. And since he felt his own voice was too low and gravelly, he turned to his 9-year-old daughter for help.
Yo soy la voz original del pregón. Se compra colchones, tambores, refrigeradores, estufas, lavadoras, microondas o algo de fierro viejo que vendan.
So, I'm the original voice of the pregón. Se compran colchones, tambores, refrigeradores, estufas, lavadoras, microondas o algo de fierro viejo que vendan.
Meet Marimar Tarón Martínez, a.k.a. the voice of Fierro Viejo. It wasn't exactly a stretch for Marimar, who is now 28 years old, to help out her father. She had already elbowed her way into his clown act.
Yo empecé a los 8 años. Yo le dije, ¿sabes qué, papá? Yo quiero ser payasita. Y me dicen, pa, no, todavía no.
I was 8 years old when I started. I said to him, you know what, Dad? I want to be a clown. And he was like, nope, not yet. And I was like, yes, please, I want to be. And he would say, you're too small. And I was like, no, please, Dad, until I convince him. And he said, okay, fine, but now let me be.
Y me dijo, bueno, ya está bien, pero ya déjame en paz. Entonces empezó.
Se iba conmigo. Entonces la gente se muere de la risa.
Yeah, she will come with me and people die laughing. Because I fall down and she falls down and we're dancing and my pants are falling off and I'm trying to pick them up and we're still dancing and I drop her and she falls on me. People thought it was hilarious.
However, recording the pregón was no time for funny business. Marco is a bit of a perfectionist.
Cada palabra fue bien estudiada.
Every word was rehearsed. And since she forget what she had to say, I will put drawings of a mattress on it, a drawing of a washing machine, so for her it was easier to read.
Marco and Marimar did take after take after take after take, trying to get the sound right.
Se empezó a grabar a las 12 de la noche y terminamos como a las 4 de la mañana.
The recording began at 12 o'clock at night, and we finished at about 4 a.m. And that's because we wanted there to be no noise, but you know, there's always a dog that bark or some boyfriend who was looking for his girlfriend at 4 a.m.
Entonces de repente fue así como que se compran colchones, Marimar, se compran colchones, tomar refrigeradores. Ay, no, tranquila.
So it took us several hours and I was very tired. And you could hear it. All of a sudden I was like, se compran colchones, and my dad will yell at me, Marimar. Se compra colchones, tambores, and he was like, no, you're already falling asleep. And I was like, I'm tired. And he was like, I know, but let's try to make sure that the recording goes well.
This may help explain the somewhat exasperated quality of the voice in Fierro Viejo. As much as Marimar wants your old refrigerator, she also just wants to go to bed.
Eventually, the cassette was finished, and Marco began playing it on his rounds. Other scrap metal crews heard it and liked it, so Marco sold it to them for a pittance, 5 pesos, the equivalent of about a quarter.
La buena fe siempre tiene recompensas. Haces una cosa por tu compañero que dice, bueno, pues órale, ahí está, no, nomás dámelo del cassette, 5 pesos.
I believe that good faith always has rewards. You do one thing for your partner, like give them the cassette for 5 pesos, which is what it costs. But you take it, no problem. They are like crops you plant that will harvest later.
And so steadily, the sound began to spread across the city through the megaphones and loudspeakers of a growing number of beat-up pickup trucks.
Scrap metal collecting is just one small corner of Mexico's massive informal economy. People have long carved out ways to make money, whether or not the government approves of the activities.
In fact, street vending is technically banned on the subway and in parts of the historic center. Yet these settings are prime turf for vendors. So why do the authorities allow so many people to work on the streets? The short answer is they don't really have a choice.
El Estado no tiene la capacidad de generar las condiciones para que haya crecimiento económico y empleos. Pero tiene la responsabilidad de atender socialmente a esta gente.
That's Carlos Alba Vega, a professor at the College of Mexico who has written books on the informal economy. Carlos says the Mexican state does not have the capacity to create the conditions for economic growth and jobs, but it does have the responsibility to serve those who work in the informal economy.
El Estado dice, entre comillas, bueno, yo no tengo la posibilidad de ayudarte a resolver muchos problemas.
The state says, in effect, to street vendors, well, I can't help you solve many problems. You don't have Social Security. If you get sick, you're on your own. But what I can do is cover my eyes so that you do what you need to do and I tolerate.
Entonces, la tolerancia como una forma de redistribución social.
So tolerance as a form of social redistribution.
Because there are laws in the books against many aspects of informal commerce, enforcement often comes down to political expediency. This leaves a huge gray area governed by unspoken codes and occasional bribes.
Existe una regulación, pero esa regulación no es una regulación formal, es una regulación informal. Existen reglas no escritas que la gente que vive y trabaja en estos lugares conoce y respeta. Y si no lo respeta, le cuesta caro, ¿no?
Alba told me that there is regulation of the informal economy, but it's an informal regulation. There are unwritten rules that vendors know and respect, and if they don't respect them, there can be severe consequences, including violence.
As parts of Mexico City become more gentrified, there are signs that the tolerance Alba refers to may be wearing thin. A recently enacted policy requires street food vendors in certain neighborhoods to display standardized signs with a city seal. This did away with a long, rich tradition of colorful, hand-painted stalls.
The city also recently passed rules concerning noise pollution. While primarily aimed at construction sites and industrial businesses, it also applies to vehicles. And trucks blasting Fierro Viejo would very likely exceed the 68 decibel limit. None of the scrap metal crews I spoke with said they had received any tickets or fines, but one guy did say that they were more likely to be hassled in certain areas.
Los autoridades se molestan un poco.
En algunos lugares.
Sí. ¿Cómo qué?
Colonias más de dinero, porque la gente le molesta el ruido.
He said they sometimes have problems in wealthier neighborhoods because people are bothered by the noise.
And Fierro Viejo does have a way of injecting itself into one's daily life in Mexico City.
This is something Mike Fortu was well aware of when he was studying music production about 10 years ago. He would often hear Fierro Viejo coming through the windows.
It's so iconic, so loud. You can't even complain. Like, I live here in an apartment. I hear it 3 times a day. And, like, you can't be mad at it, you know? It's part of the city.
One day, Fortu was struck by something in the recording, the rhythm.
Ta-na-na, ta-na-na. It has a lot of musical elements in it. And just the timbre of this little girl. I put this 128 BPM electronic music intro and stuff. And it absolutely matched. Like, I didn't edit it much. And she just crashed the lines and the lyrics.
Soon, Fierro Viejo, the dance remix, was born.
Fortu may have been one of the first producers to sample Fierro Viejo, but he certainly was not the last. You can find tracks on Spotify and YouTube that riff on the pregón in various ways.
Probably the best produced song featuring Fierro Viejo dropped earlier this year. It's a collaboration between 3 producers and rappers who go by El Wey Coyote, Fano, and Skeeper. The video is excellent. The three rappers vamp it up like they're rolling in a tricked-out Lambo, but they're actually in an utterly ragged old pickup, piled high with old mattresses and junk. El Wey Coyote told me it's sort of an homage. It's a celebration of doing what you have to do to make a living, with a certain degree of style and ingenuity. In this sense, songs that sample Fiero Viejo are about more than winking irony. They're about an identity. Here's Mike Fortu again.
Yes, like if you play that, it's almost like an anthem, you know? You played it, as you said, in the World Cup, and people are gonna turn to find the wolf pack of the Mexicans, you know? We can be scattered around the world, and if you give us something to unite for and something to party, we're gonna rock the night there.
My interpreter, Jose Luis Viesca, a lifelong Mexico City resident, artist, and writer, had an interesting perspective on why Fiero Viejo has resonated the way it has.
It speaks, I think, volumes. No, I think we're very proud of our creativity, you know, and how we always solve things like this thing with three clips and one piece of chewing gum. But at the same time, I think it's something to be expected from Mexicans. Is that you will have somebody that takes a loudspeaker on their backpack in order to make noise, in order to attract attention, in order to precisely do something maybe surreal.
Surreal might be a good way to describe how it felt for Marimar when Fiero Viejo first started to spread across the city. She was self-conscious about her voice, and even she found it a bit intrusive.
¿Te bañas? ¿Estás en una reunión? ¿Estás hablando por teléfono? ¿Estás discutiendo con el marido? ¿O estás en un momento romántico con el marido y suena la grabación?
You're taking a shower. You're in a meeting. You're talking on the phone. You're arguing with your husband, or you're having a romantic moment with your husband, and the recording plays. So you hear the recording a lot all day long. A hell of a lot.
Entonces se oye muchísimo en todo el día. Muchísimo.
Despite her initial misgivings, Marimar has embraced the fame that comes with Fiero Viejo's popularity. She's performed Fiero Viejo live, and she's sat for interviews with prominent TV journalists. She's even active on social media under the names La Voz del Fiero Viejo and Niña del Hierro, literally, Girl of Iron.
And social media has helped Marimar and Fiero Viejo gain an international fan base. Versions of the pregón have been posted in other languages on TikTok and Instagram, like this one in French.
De tambour, de frigo, de gazinière, de machine à laver, de micro.
Marimar has also used her fame to call attention to more serious matters, like Mexico's high rates of violence against women and femicide.
Last year, for International Women's Day, trucks rode through the streets of Mexico City, blaring what sounded like Fiero Viejo, but with a very different set of messages.
Se abortan sistemas patriarcales.
International Women's Day was one of the few times Marimar agreed to lend the tune and her magnificent pipes to alternate versions of Fiero Viejo. In this clip, the pregón is played from speakers in the Zócalo, the massive historic plaza in the heart of Mexico City. The words say in part,
te invito a la lucha.
We invite you to the struggle that demands respect, equality, and justice for us and the new generations.
No somos las mismas. No somos las mismas.
Marco and Marimar hosted me earlier this year in the front yard of their home, a small house with a cement floor that they share with Marimar's three kids. Despite the fame Fiero Viejo has brought them, the family still hustles to make ends meet. Marco, for his part, believes they haven't always gotten their due. He considers Fiero Viejo an artistic creation, and he says he's registered it and retained a lawyer.
La idea es, pues a los que pueden pagar, sí. Canciones, comedias, películas, que también quieren ocuparla, pues sí, pero paguen.
The idea is that those who can pay should pay. Songs, comedies, movies, short films. If they want to use it, they should pay because they can afford it. But for the carreteros, the people who buy scrap metal, it's very difficult. Very difficult.
Marco doesn't collect scrap metal as much as he used to, but he's still very much involved in the industry. Knowing how challenging the work can be, he started a union for collectors. Members get help repairing their trucks, dealing with the authorities, and unlimited access to the recording of Fiero Viejo.
There is at least one constant in the lives of Marco and Mary Marr since the days he was pushing a cart and hollering out of a cardboard tube. They still perform as clowns, only now Fierro Viejo has become central to their act.
La verdad me sorprende entonces cuando vamos a los eventos y hacemos ese número, me tienen que decir un sonido de la Ciudad de México y empiezan los niños, el del agua, el del gas, el del Fierro Viejo, empiezan, se compran colchones.
The truth is, it surprises me when we go to events and do that number, you have to tell me a sound from Mexico City. And the children start, the one with the water, the one with the gas, the Fierro Viejo. And then they start, se compran colchones. And it's something really cool. It's something that I love to do.
Y es algo padrísimo, es algo que a mí me encanta hacer.
Making a living collecting household cast-offs for scrap isn't easy. By crafting what is basically an extremely effective advertisement, the Torones ease the toil not only for themselves, but for legions of collectors in Mexico. But it wasn't just what those scrap metal trucks were collecting. It's what they ended up offering. The unbridled, unbowed shout of a 9-year-old girl that for some reason echoed across Mexico and then the world.
More on the sounds of Mexico City after the break. So we are back with Ted Seifer, who has more to tell us about some of the street vending calls you heard earlier. Hey, Ted.
Hey. So you may have noticed the recordings of some of those calls, specifically those in the public markets, were really well done.
I did notice that. I mean, many of them were just really clean and crisp. They were fantastic.
Allí está el carrito de moda, carrito de temporada. Mira, puro carrito de línea. Se va de regalo, se va de remate. Barato, barato, te vale 35 pesos.
Like that one, you can even hear his intake of breath. It's that clean.
I know. So I can't take credit for that recording,
okay,
nor for some of the other ones that we heard of the market vendors. They were made by a French sound engineer and sound artist named Felix Bloom. He first came to Mexico City in 2009, and he was staying in the historic center of the city.
So it's super quiet during the night. It's really silent, probably one of the most silent places of the city. But during the day, you have hundreds and hundreds of people, street sellers screaming and announcing what they are selling and people going through. And it was amazing for me to be there and to listen to all those sounds.
So Felix, sound artist that he is, wanted to record the vendors. So he got to know some of them and started recording their pregones one-on-one, away from the noise of the public markets. And these recordings would become the basis for an exhibition that ran a few years ago called Coro Informal, which means informal chorus. It was held at a place called the Fonoteca, a sound library and cultural center in Mexico City. Basically, when visitors walked in, they'd see all these little wooden boxes. And when people opened them, out came a pregón. And then they could also see its musical score along with an illustration of the vendor.
Wow, that is so amazing. What a great exhibit. And also, just like selfishly, it was so useful for our story to have all these clean, beautiful recordings that he made.
Totally. But Felix was not content just to be a documentarian. He decided that he would try his hand at street vending as well. So he makes a CD called Disco Pirata, which means pirate CD.
¡Viva México!
¡Viva! 100 sonidos. Más de 3 horas de duración.
That's Felix in the intro to the CD saying, it's 3 hours long with over 100 sounds of the city.
Whoa, okay.
It's pretty ambitious. Basically, Felix styled the disc after the pirate CDs that you can find being hawked in public markets and subway cars. Mm-hmm. They might offer, say, the top 100 cumbia or reggaeton hits of the current day. As you can imagine, Felix's disc did not just feature jams like Fierro Viejo, but deep cuts like The Balloon Vendor and The Knife Sharpener. Felix then boarded subway cars and tried to sell the CD in the style of the locals.
Ciudad de México, son 100 sonidos típicos de la Ciudad de México en formato MP3, son 10 pesos me cuesta, 10 pesos me vale, todos los sonidos más típicos de la Ciudad de México en 10 pesos.
Well, he certainly was committed to the bit. I mean, it's pretty gutsy to, you know, sell your Pregones CD with a French accent, you know, like in a crowded subway car. Like, did he end up selling a bunch of these?
Well, from a commercial perspective, it wasn't so successful. He said he only sold a few discs.
So it wasn't so easy to scream. And then I met some people selling discs at this time, and they said, well, you should do it like this. You should go on this line, the green line. The green line is better for you because it's like university and they will like this kind of stuff. And they even tried to sell it for me. I can give you a few copies and try to sell it.
So the other vendors were giving him pointers for how to shout and sell some things at the same time. That's really amazing. It sounds like Felix was really inspired by the sounds of Mexico City. I mean, did you get a sense from him like what he was really going for in his art when he was archiving these and presenting them?
Yeah, we chatted about that. One of his goals was definitely documentary, right? He wanted to record the vendor calls because they are such an easily overlooked and ephemeral part of the city's identity.
I think the act of recording in general, it's like building a memory of a place. It's building a memory from a moment or from people living these territories. Or probably those sounds will disappear at some point. They will change, at least.
So I personally experienced what Felix is talking about here, how the sounds of the city change and evolve over time. Hmm. For example, this is Felix's recording of a tamale vendor.
Hay tamales, oaxaqueños, tamales calientitos.
And here's the pregón by the same guy, mind you, that I heard when I was in the city.
Ya llegaron sus ricos y deliciosos tamales oaxaqueños. Tamales oaxaqueños, tamales calientitos.
I mean, I personally like the current one. The lyrics, so to speak, are more complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice flow. These are the kind of things that you start to notice when you spend a lot of time, maybe too much time, listening to Pregones.
It is.
Anyway, it was important for Felix to try and capture and preserve these sounds, but he had another goal with his sound projects, and that has to do with the notion of public space.
The public space is a space for all, in the place for to be able to be listened to. And this all happens in the public space. And I think that's the important things of listening to this public space, to listen to what people want to say, to what people is saying, and maybe not enough people are listening to them.
That's so true. And I'm so glad that more people are listening. And I'm so happy with this story and that I got to hear these Pregones for myself. So I really appreciate it, Ted. Thank you.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure, Roman. It was a really fun story to work on.
99% Invisible was produced this week by Ted Seifer and edited by Jason De Leon. Fact-checking by Sona Avakian. Voice-over work by Johan Rashi Vega and Laura Ubate. Original music by Swan Real. Sound mix by Martin Gonzalez. Delaney Hall is our senior editor. Kurt Kolstad is our digital director. The rest of the team includes Vivian Lay, Chris Berube, Emmett Fitzgerald, Christopher Johnson, Kelly Prime, Lash Madon, Jacob Maldonado Medina, Joe Rosenberg, and me, Roman Mars. The 99% Invisible logo was created by Stefan Lawrence. Special thanks this week to Jose Luis Viesca, Aaron Reese, Jorge Mendoza, Eric Serna Luna, Felix Bloom, and to Marco and Mary Mar, Tyrone. We are part of the Stitcher and SiriusXM podcast family, now headquartered 6 blocks north in the Pandora building in beautiful uptown Oakland, California. You can find the show and join discussions about the show on Facebook. You can tweet at me at Roman Mars and the show at 99pi.org. We're on Instagram, Reddit, and TikTok too. You can find links to other Stitcher shows I love, as well as every past episode of 99pi at 99pi.org.